Inside the Disney Vault. This is the podcast where we're going through every single Disney animated movie in chronological order and talking about them. And we did that, and then we did Pixar, and then now we're doing Disney Channel original movies, but we're taking a mini break. I'm Rachel.
Claire. I'm Oscar.
I'm Rachel. Claire.
I'm Oscar.
Alex. Oh, sorry. No, just kidding. Well, we finished all the 2000s movies for the Disney Channel original movies, and we decided that we were going to take a little mini break.
That's right. We decided, we're done with 2000. Let's take a break from the past, and let's fast forward to really look at the past. This very special treat.
Back
fast
to the future,
forward
if
to
you
the
will.
Past.
Exactly. And corner of the vault is kind of different because, I mean, what are we seeing here? There's some things I personally have never seen before in the vault.
Whoa, I'm rotating around.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa,
yeah.
I'm coming back around.
I see a lantern.
Yes, so yes, do I, okay. For sure. And I see a nice scepter belonging to a king.
Oh. Yes.
Yeah.
A nice. I mean, obviously, we're talking about Hamilton.
Alexander Hamilton.
Also lovingly known as Hamill Film, because specifically we're talking about the filmed version of Hamilton, which is available on Disney Plus.
That's right.
And this is just this is just a mini ep, so we're not going to go through it totally beat by beat. But we know a lot of you out there are watching and digesting, and because we finally get to see this juggernaut, and so it's exciting.
Another fun thing is that you told us if we were going to cover it and you wanted us to cover it, and we're covering it, so this is very exciting.
Not only that, but we also took some questions from you guys that you wanted us to discuss, so look at us, it's interactive, it's exciting.
But before we get to all that, I'm gonna ask you guys, have you seen Hamilton live before?
Yes.
What? You've been, what the what?
I saw it when it came here at the Pantages.
Whoa.
Because I moved to LA after it blew up in New York, so I missed my chance of seeing it there. Not like I would have been able to.
I think I may have talked about it before, but three, four years ago, I jokingly was like, it's easier to get tickets to Hamilton in London, because they were just opening a new production. So I did buy tickets because it was easier in London, and I had never been out of the country, but I built an entire European vacation around seeing Hamilton.
Wow.
That's wild.
But then it's crazy, because actually seeing Hamilton ended up being like the smallest part of the whole trip, but it was just a cool bonus, and also very weird to see this particular show in London.
Yeah.
Because they're like the enemy in this musical.
Right. They loved King George. They loved him. But also it's funny because as soon as it started, Burr was like, how does a bastard orphan? And you could hear him trying to do the American accent through his British accent. But also it's like, no.
That's very funny.
But I'm sure a British accent would have been fine because technically
they would have, exactly.
Yeah, this is it's very interesting because this musical. Okay, so for those of us living under a rock and that have never heard of this musical before, it is the musical adaptation of the life and times of Alexander Hamilton, who is famous for, he's famous for a bunch of things. Honestly, the thing that I knew him is the dude who lost in the duel with Aaron Burr.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that from the 90s Got Milk commercials. And that's how I know about
what?
That.
What? I have no idea what that
do you,
is.
Do you not remember that commercial?
They're like 90s asking, Got Milk?
Yes.
About
so the
Aaron
commercial,
Burr?
Yes. So in the commercial, they have a television sort of quiz contest where they're like, okay, if you can tell me who shot Alexander Hamilton, you'll win all this money. And this guy is eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and he's calling and they're like, who is it? But his mouth is so full, he can't say Aaron Burr. So
yes.
It's
classic,
and it's like so ingrained in my head, and that is how I know about Alexander Hamilton.
I know exactly what you're talking about, but I had no idea that was the question for that. Okay, so real quick, I guess let's give a little bit of context here as to why this show is on Disney and all that, and about what this is. So the original release of this was July 3rd on Disney Plus. It was supposed to be released in theaters. I do have some context here. So Disney paid $75 million to purchase Hamilton in early February. And at that time, they intended to release it in October 2021 in theaters. But then it became apparent that that really wasn't going to happen because of Corona. So they decided to release it on streaming instead, and just around the time of the 4th of July. And so it was actually three different performances of the original Broadway cast about 2 weeks before they made their exit from the show. So I think it's all of the main players are the original Broadway cast, and they did it in front of a live audience, but then there were certain shots that they did using like cranes and stuff to get the really cool close-up shots. And so, I mean, I think it's a very, very cool version of a live show. And I like the filmed stage versions, and I like that it has dimension and that we get those different angles and things, but that's me editorializing. Anyway, and so on the weekend it was released, the Disney app Plus app was downloaded 266,084 times.
Ooh, okay, so people wanted to watch it. Okay.
People wanted to watch it. And also, so Jonathan Groff, who plays King George, had actually already left the show, but he came back just for this filming of it, which I think is fun. You know, he wanted to get his...
Jonathan Groff, we know as Kristoff.
Kristoff from Frozen,
and
yes.
Sven.
He's already part of the Disney family.
Yeah. And so I guess we have a budget here for the stage show, which was $12.5 million.
That's a lot.
But I think that's the budget for the show. Y'all, Broadway shows are not cheap, and they are so expensive to run, too. So they need to make, like, $1 million a week or something crazy like
Well,
that.
Well, we all know this if we watched Smash on NBC.
Oh my God.
You know, I watched, I think, the first half of the first season of Smash.
Oh, I only watched the second season of Smash.
Wasn't their whole big project is to do the show simultaneously with like the actual live show?
I have no idea. I know that they ended up putting out the second season. They did a show that was like similar to like a Rent or like a Spring Awakening, where it was like cool and hip.
And the first one was Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, Bombshell, which was the Marilyn Monroe one.
Let me be your star.
Which was,
that song comes on my Spotify list too often.
Yeah, that one was more like.
So the first season was a totally different musical than the second season?
Well, the second season they covered Bombshell. I didn't mean to turn this into a Smash conversation.
This is a Smash conversation now.
But the second season they focused on a separate show, but Bombshell was still going on. But Bombshell was kind of like shelved a little bit because of the, you know, like drama that was going on in the show. But like in the show, the narrative.
Oh, okay. I
not,
was like, drama?
No, in the show. Yeah. I watched the second season because it had Jeremy Jordan in it, who was in Newsies, which is a Disney stage show, which now
which
Hamilton.
Which is the only other show that they've filmed and released in the theater this way. Thank you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Brought it back.
Yeah, segue.
Yes.
That's
completed
so funny
that
because.
Leaf.
Claire, you answered one of our listeners' questions. Mm-hmm. Little Buddies wanted to know how this particular show ended up on Disney Plus.
Yes.
Little Buddies.
So
Little Buddies, that's her name.
Other streaming
shout out
platforms.
To Little Buddies on Instagram.
Shout out, thank you for the question. So other studios did want it, I think, but Disney's the one who won, and I think I have a fact.
Well, we know that Lin-Manuel Miranda has a special relationship with Disney.
That's true.
Because he did Moana, and I'm sure he's doing other things with
them. He is Moana!
Yeah.
I thought I wrote it down. But anyway, I think at the time it was the largest sum of money that anybody had paid to get rights of this kind. $75 million.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, baby. But I mean, it sounds like they're making a lot of money, because if, you know, 288,000 people got, or 266,000 got Disney Plus.
I don't know how much money they're making considering they're losing billions of dollars having their parks closed around the world, but
it's a rough time for all of us except those who already have billions of dollars.
Yeah.
That's true.
The rich get richer.
But I do know that because it's on Disney Plus, they did have to cut out a few curse words, right?
I was thinking about that.
Yeah. But honestly,
but not all of them though.
No,
right?
No. There is one that the stayed in.
Yeah.
So technically, it's rated PG-13, and that's why I think they got two, or I think maybe it's just the but there were two fucks that they cut out.
I think there was also maybe a shit. I don't know. I don't really know the words that well, so I can't tell you. But, they had to edit it. But I don't think it took away from the story at all.
Nah.
Yeah. Okay, so I also know, I mean, we all know Lin-Manuel Miranda is in this cast.
Yeah.
But there was a couple of other faces that I was like, these faces look familiar to me.
Some of them are also linked to Disney.
Okay.
Like George Washington, a couple of them were in Moana because, you know, the Lin connection.
Yeah, Chris Jackson plays Moana's dad.
Yeah.
And Washington.
That is.
Washington.
Oh, Washington.
He does the singing voice for Moana.
Also, I don't know if you guys have seen, there's a documentary on Hulu about Lin-Manuel Miranda's improv hip-hop group called Love
Freestyle Love Supreme.
Yes. And so he and Chris Jackson were in that from the time they were in college together. So they're close buddies. Oh, and Tommy Kale? Yeah, who directed it, was also in Freestyle Love Supreme. So he keeps his friends close.
Wow.
I know Anthony Ramos was supposed, he's going to be in the Heights movie.
That's right.
Release In the Heights. Okay, so do you want me to name this cast? Because it sounds like you, or...
Yes, please.
Okay. So, also, I have thoughts about In the Heights versus Hamilton. anyway, I'll put a pin in it. So, cast, we got Lin-Manuel Miranda as Alexander Hamilton, Philippa Sue as Eliza Hamilton, Leslie Odom Jr. as Aaron Burr, Renee Elise Goldsberry as Angelica Schuyler,
okay.
David Diggs as Marquis de Lafayette / Thomas Jefferson, Christopher Jackson as George Washington. Okay, it's I knew how to say it, and now I feel so bad. Okay, Okirite Onadawan as Hercules Mulligan, but he goes by Oak, who, oh my god, okay, if you want some real, do you want some real Broadway drama?
Of course I do.
So, Natasha Pierre in The Great Comet of 1812 is one of my favorite shows that I've seen on Broadway in, well, I guess ever, because I haven't seen that many, but anyway. So a few years ago, it was on Broadway. It's this beautiful, amazing, sung-through show, and it opened with Josh Groban in the starring role of Pierre.
Oh, wow.
And it had a really diverse cast, like super cool, like people, all kinds of different performers and musicians and people from all different kinds of backgrounds. Like, it was just like a beautiful, cool party. And so they had Natasha was played by three different actresses, or like the standbys and everything, and like of all different races, and like they just like, it was so like, it was all cool and like super modern, yet also about this little snippet of War and Peace. And oh my god, I'm getting this all wrong, but anyway, basically it's set in Russia, and it's like about all these old white Russian people, but it's like really modern, and like they made the whole theater into this like cool party, and like they would dance down the aisles and stuff. And so anyway, they replaced the lead when Josh Groban left. Oak was replaced him, but it was only set to be in the show for like 6 weeks. However, like I said earlier, Broadway shows cost a lot of money. So this show costs like $1 million a week to run, and they were starting to lose money. So what they do sometimes is they bring in celebrities to get the tickets to sell. And I think Ingrid Michaelson was in the show also as a different role, obviously, than the Josh Groban Oak role. So they brought her in just like for a name and stuff. And so then they were going to end Oak's role early, or Oak's stint early, and bring in Mandy Patinkin.
Oh.
Because because like they were losing money or like there was some miscommunication that happened, and then all of the fans and everybody went wild and they were like, this is racist, you're bringing in this white man to replace this black guy, and like, and it was like this whole that. It was like a whole thing that is like kind of incredible to think about, especially now in this, you know, like this point in time, because the producers all said, oh, no, this was like an oversight, we didn't mean that to happen, and blah, 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 and all
Mandy
this stuff.
I think Mandy Patinkin even was like, I'm not doing it.
Yes. Oh, wow. And so what happened, yes, Mandy Patinkin said, oh, no, no, I don't want any part of this. That's not what I'm here for, so I'm going to back out. And because of that, the show had to close, and it was very, very sad.
Yikes.
But, I mean, that is a big deal, and like your like actions are important and the messages you're sending are important, and it's just like it was such a crazy situation. So
but the good side of it is that Oak is in Hamilton, and I would say very good in this show.
Yeah. And also I believe you can even find snippets of him in Natasha, Pierre, and the Great Comet, which is still a beautiful, amazing show. And he's incredible.
No, not only you were like snippets, and then I thought you were holding your hair out, and I thought you were going to say snippets of his hair, and I was like, wait, what?
You can find snippets of his hair in the show.
Well, the other amazing thing about that role is the lead actor who plays it has to play piano, like, the entire show. So he's multi-talented. He's amazing.
Vanessa Carlton could have done that role.
Yeah.
She really could have been a big burly man. So anyway, I digress. Thank you for letting me go off on that little trip.
We all have our own tangents. Mine was Smash. Yours is...
that show is so beautiful. I do love it. Mandy Patinkin.
So shout out to that musical.
Yeah. I did notice that when this came out, it was a huge thing on TikTok, and it still is.
Hamilton,
yeah.
Yes, all kinds of Hamilton trends, and basically just using a Hamilton song at all is considered
relevant.
I mean, yeah, this was a phenomenon. Like, I mean, Claire had to go to a different country.
I had
to see the show. I mean, it was like really wild how, well, because here's the thing, it's like, why do you think Hamilton was such a big deal?
It's because it was like something different. It was like you saw rap in a Broadway musical. It was like cool to like Broadway music again. And then also like I feel like it was a diverse cast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Lin-Manuel Miranda is just a genius in general, so like anything that he does is just like everything is did you know this connects to this and this, and there's just like you have to see it multiple times to truly get everything out of it. Yeah. I think it was just like it made Broadway cool for a lot of people. And it also it because of the diversity, I feel like it allowed more people to see themselves in a show, even though it was about all white people. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. And just that twist in itself is something, too, because it makes everybody watch and go, whoa, cool.
Yeah.
We can do anything on stage. Oh, but I do want to pause real quick because I don't think I finished the rest of this main cast. Then we have Jasmine Cephas Jones as Peggy Schuyler / Mariah
Peggy!
Reynolds.
Yeah, Peggy!
And Peggy. Oh, leave it to me to leave out Peggy.
Oh my God, of course. Justice for Peggy.
Who is engaged to Anthony Ramos in real life.
Oh, yes. And then next on our list, we have Anthony Ramos as John Lawrence and Philip Hamilton. Jonathan Groff as King George III. And then we have some ensemble folks who also, of course, should be mentioned, but that's sort of my list ends.
Great. Yeah.
So that's our main.
This is a cast that like became huge after Hamilton, or were huge in their own right, but became like household names after the show.
Oh, for sure. Because I think like David Diggs was like a rapper in Oakland and then was cast in this show. Like, I don't even know if he was an actor really or was trying to be an actor, but like now he's in everything.
He's in Snowpiercer, the TV show.
He's on Blackish. He's on, what else is he in? I don't know. He shows up all
countless
the time.
Countless other things.
He's countless. He books, things. You might say.
Exactly. So yeah, the other thing that I'm gonna say about like why Hamilton was such a huge success is that it really was not just a diverse cast, but like in terms of musical genres, it was diverse. You had all kinds of music, you know? And I think in terms of like the way that it was cast was quite interesting because all the British people were played by white people. Like King George was white, and then like the snooty, like literally all the British people were
right.
And then everybody else was POC. And that was like a really cool take on the idea of like what America means, you know? Mm-hmm. And in terms of like Lin-Manuel Miranda's genius, like his lyrics are like unreal. Well, that was my biggest takeaway from this musical because I've never seen it. And I've heard some of the music, but not all of it, is that like, I guess I was just shocked by how many, there was like very few talking parts in the musical in this like 3 hour musical.
Well, it's a sung through musical. There is no dialogue really.
It blows my mind because and it's just like packed full of lyrics. It's like nonstop lyrics. It's just,
incredibly impressive. What also is great is that it has different like it's rapping and it's like hip hop music, but it's variations of hip hop music. Like you have like the very 90s R&B style rap, and then you also have like kind of like the like new age kind of faster rap kind of, and then you also have kind of like a slow, you know, R&B style. There's like different styles and each character has their different style of rapping. No, there's also like conspiracy theories about how each character like their different styles. For instance, like the ones like who die early on in the show, they rap faster than the people that live longer, like Eliza doesn't rap at all because she has the longest time to tell her story, so she doesn't have to rap.
Interesting.
Oh yeah, I saw a bunch of TikTok theories popping up of stuff like that. They're like, Eliza has the most time, so other people need to get their words in quicker, so that's why they talk faster. Then I've also heard it depends on their intelligence level too. Like those three guys, it's Hercules, Mulligan, the
John
guys
Lawrence
from the box.
Lafayette.
Yeah, like they have that like 80s style like hip hop like boom, ch, yeah, boom, because it's like they're a little less like evolved or like a little more juvenile.
Well,
so
then
that's why they.
Yeah, and then like Jefferson has that like very like I don't know, like jazzy kind of sound because he's
it's that like old school Broadway sound because it's like totally something completely different and like cheesy and like
I mean,
not
and if
in
you
the
compare
same
that to King George, who is just singing
Full on Broadway.
Yeah,
like dated old ass Broadway. Yeah, like a dated old ass country.
And then the movement too, just so still and not attached at all.
And well, I mean, also let's talk about King George's
spitting
saliva issue.
Oh yeah, I was like, I was like, whoa, they really showed a close up of that. Thank you so much.
I think I missed the close up of the spitting because it was a huge
Claire.
Speaking of TikTok.
Claire, come on.
No,
were
you
even watching?
You
weren't watching.
However, I'm not offended when people spit on stage because like that's what happens when you see live theater.
I
is
know.
You get the spit and the sweat.
I know.
And that's what I love it. I love sitting up close and seeing them like working. I love
well,
it.
Well, that's live theater. This is a filmed performance.
Oh, we should have edited it. It's true. We should be like, hey,
it just
like,
was so
Johnny.
Bizarre.
Johnny, we're going to wipe you down. Yeah. We're going to do another take.
There was a bunch of TikToks about that, too. Like, people that would cut to the audience and they'd be covered in spit or something, you know?
Sprayed.
I mean,
now it makes sense why watching Cats, how Jennifer Hudson's performance was so snot-centric.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, this must be the Broadway way, where it's like, if you're not if you're not throwing out some sort of liquid, then you're not acting.
I mean, it was gross to see, but I admired the heck out of it.
Oh, me too. I also liked that he was like spitting and sort of foaming at the mouth because he was crazy.
Yeah,
that's the whole point of King George, is that he's gone mad.
Yeah, but
and the song makes so much sense.
That's probably part of it too, is they're like, you know what, let him look crazy and like he's rabid.
Honestly, I love that performance because then also he's comedic relief.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah,
he's great.
Lindsay Salustro on Instagram wants to know which of the characters on in Hamilton is our favorite character.
I really enjoy Lafayette's energy and the Lafayette rap. I like doing that. So I don't know if he's my favorite character or if I have a favorite character.
You like
but he's definitely
doing that. What does that?
I like doing the rap. I may Claire, have memorized the rap.
Yeah, Claire learned it for TikTok, right?
Oh, well, I learned it way before that TikTok, but I did do it in a TikTok. It literally took me days. It's so fast, but like once you get it, you get it. And like speaking, okay, there's another rap that I learned. It's the In the Heights rap. So okay, when this show first came out, I was like kind of put off by all of the intensity and the fandom over it, because everyone's like, we've never seen hip hop on Broadway. But I was like, hello, In the Heights is hip hop on Broadway. It's like not as hip hop, it's not as hardcore sung through, but like there are a lot of similarities to me between In the Heights and Hamilton, both thematically and musically. Yeah. Like it's just weird how like, I don't know. I think people don't, it's like, it's out there and it's great. And so that's why I was like, you guys, like other great shows exist that are kind of, but anyway, it was like the predecessor to it. So I did memorize Lafayette rap, and I do know Usnavi's rap from the beginning of In the Heights. So in case anyone wants to check that out,
follow Claire on TikTok.
I don't know Angelica's rap though, because I think I saw somebody
that's all I know.
Wonder if I could look it up. Yeah, I mean, of course I could look it up, but
I don't know who my favorite character is. I do like Lafayette. I think he's fun, but I really like David's performance of Lafayette. I relate to a lot when I was watching the show, mostly because it's my favorite song is Wait For It, but I really
How
like...
How does that song go again?
Wait for it.
I am the one thing in life I can't control. Okay, am I crazy in thinking
You don't remember Wait For It? That's like...
I don't know what the song titles are. I could.
It's one of the first songs.
He says Wait For It in the song.
He says it 100 times.
Wait for it, wait for it,
wait for it, wait for it, wait for it. But can I ask you something?
Yeah, but anyway, to finish my thought, I really like Aaron Burr, even though he is kind of the villain. But he's like, you know,
but
like,
we get why.
Yeah.
Which is
like
cool.
It shows it like the whole show, like he's relatable because like you understand where he's coming from. And I think that's also a thing of why I like a lot of like the villain. I'll use quotes, the villains from Disney movies, is that they you understand where they're coming from. And like sometimes it's the leads, like the Hamiltons that are and the princesses who are annoying because like they're kind of just like all about themselves and like, you know, like I don't know. So like I liked Burr because I related to it. And then also like I find myself waiting for it. Anyway, continue.
I would say my favorite character is Peggy.
And Peggy.
Justice for Peggy.
We're all a Peggy.
I'm
we're
a huge Peggy fan. Peggy. I'm like my whole energy is Peggy. That is my vibe. Is Peggy to the max. But for real though, I mean the best character in the damn show is Eliza. It's
Eliza.
The Schuyler sisters are like the best part of Hamilton. Their songs, her performance was unbelievable. It really just blew me away. The women in Hamilton, like, oh my gosh. To me, they were the stars of the show.
Yeah.
They're so great. I love, like, yeah, they're just all
they're too
perfect
cool
angels. Mm-hmm. They're so perfect. I do remember when I was watching, I was just like, they're just so perfect. Like, she's just so, so, so perfect. So this is what it feels like to match wits with someone at your level. What the hell? I'm not going to do it.
What the hell is the catch?
It's a feeling of freedom, of seeing the light. It's Ben Franklin with a key and a kite. Okay, I got to
stop. You see
it,
right?
Yeah. Oh, but earlier I was wondering.
I only know a few words.
So, I know. I've listened to the show a good amount, but I feel like I've listened to Act 1 way more than Act 2, even though
yeah,
I know Act 2 is like...
I preferred Act 1 over Act 2.
Let's be real. Act 1 is... usually better in shows, are we? I mean,
well, no, I agree with
it
that.
Depends. I mean, there are usually some highlights in Act 2, but yeah, that's the more energy is usually in Act 1.
I mean, the better, like, the big songs are always in Act 1. I mean, that's where you also get...
But then there's your 11 o'clock number in Act 2.
Right.
What's the 11 o'clock?
But that's usually one number in a whole
act.
Right. And it's also, like... In, like, Broadway shows especially, it's always, like, sad endings. Yes. So it's always, like, it's, like, this big, like, ooh, something big's going to happen. And then, it just, you know, you reach the climax at, like, right before the intermission. And then after the intermission is where everything kind of just, like, falls to shit.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's just, like, it's like in Titanic. You're, like, ooh, yeah. And then they hit the iceberg and everyone dies. And you're, like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's like Into the Woods when it's all happy and everybody thinks you can leave the theater. It's not over and everybody dies.
Everybody dies.
Speaking of emotional, actually, Tanis _Wonderland wants to know which songs / scenes were the most emotional for each of you.
I always cried during.
So which scenes made you cry?
I always cry during Wait For It.
The world has no right to my heart. The world has no place in our bed. I love her.
Ah, Burn. I know that song.
Yes, yes, that's it. You got it. You stay in your office instead. Because I'm like, yeah, girl, you were fucking like, you were burned. He burned your ass.
Yeah.
And now you're going to let him burn.
During Wait For It. And then also,
how does,
like,
that go again?
Wait for it.
Wait for it. Wait for it.
I am the one thing in life I can't control.
That one is good. I think that one is very relatable too. How we're like, you know. Yeah, I'm willing to wait for it. I can, you know, I hold my cards close to my chest.
It's also like, why is it the Hamilton relentless? He wastes no time. and then you're sitting there and you're like, oh, it's such, like, he just goes after it. And yet I'm waiting here for the right moment because I'm trying to be smart about it. And he's just like going off and talking.
Even though we started at the very same time, Alexander Hamilton began to climb. Yeah.
Yeah, and then
it's
also a moment that always gets me is that when Burr is talking about the all those things that they wrote, and they're like, this guy wrote 5, this guy wrote whatever, and then Alexander wrote the rest, the 51 of them.
I feel like that would be a big spit moment.
Yeah,
he's like, Alexander Hamilton wrote the other 50.
Yeah. It's just like that moment. And then also, like after Philip dies, that moment.
Oh yeah, yeah, that was sad.
Always makes me cry. So,
for me, the most, like, it's not the saddest part of the show. I would say the saddest part of the show is the very end when Eliza's singing about who's gonna write your story. To me, I was like, oh damn, wow, okay, introspective much. But then to me, the most emotional part of this whole show is when Angelica sings the toast song, and then, like,
satisfied?
We were able to, like, rewind
to and groom,
see
to the groom, to the bride,
which to me sounds like such a Destiny's Child number. That was bills,
yeah,
straight up.
Oh, speaking of references, sorry, finish your thought, please.
Well, I was just going to say that Angelica, you see that she was in love with Hamilton.
Yeah.
But there were so many reasons why she sort of encouraged Eliza to end up marrying him. And to me, I was like, holy crap, this. And then we don't really see Angelica really for much of the musical. But I think that scene alone was so impactful.
Well, I also like the choreography in that scene too, because you see the choreography in Helpless right before, and then like you see the exact same thing but from Angelica's perspective, where she's like in love with him, but then she actually, like, her sister's in love with him too, so she escorts him to her, and it's that whole thing of, like, she's the older sister, so she's the one who's supposed to marry Rich, and she can't marry for love, she has to marry for money.
It's so incredible. Just the way she performed that too is, like, holy, this is, like, next level. I was so blown away by that song. And it's, like, one of those things where, like, yeah, you see the musical, you have to see it more than once to get, like, the deeper cuts. But
there
this is, like,
are...
we're able to see it again.
Yeah.
Just by watching it once. It's, like, so wild.
Yeah, because you really get to see all the details when they're up close. Whereas, like, at the Pantages, I was, like, the last row because that was the cheapest seats I could get. And I could barely see anything. But now I can finally see all the many details.
It's true. And they kind of show you where to shift your focus. Whereas when you're watching a show, you could, like, be looking at the floor if
yeah,
you want.
I'm usually like, look at that dance. I'm always like, because I have that dance team thing in me where it's like, mm-hmm. they always put the weaker dancers like in the back or something. So I'm always watching for like the weaker dancers or like the people off to the side where it's like, I'm like, I don't know, maybe that's just because I relate. So yeah.
Well, on that note of references, this show is so chock full of them that people have developed like entire websites to decoding and figuring them out, because it's like, I don't even know how many, they're innumerable. Because Lin-Manuel Miranda himself has said that his influences were Harry Potter, West Wing, like so many different musicals I can name, so many different hip hop and R&B songs.
Did get broken up into different houses before you entered the theater. Just kidding.
Yeah, are you a Brit or American?
Well, is Alexander Hamilton a Hufflepuff because the colors of Hamilton
are
Hufflepuff characters?
He seems like a Ravenclaw Slytherin.
Yeah, he's definitely a Ravenclaw.
He's a Ravenclaw, yeah. Burr?
Yeah. Burr is a Hufflepuff.
Hufflepuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, Burr is a Hufflepuff.
Yeah.
For sure.
I don't know.
George Washington, Gryffindor.
Yeah, he's Gryffindor.
Thomas Jefferson?
He's a Slytherin.
Yeah.
But also like something, it's not really references, but I do, going back to TikTok and seeing everyone's like kind of like videos about different like details and stuff like that that you don't really notice the first time you see it, is like I got a lot of information from TikTok about Hamilton watching it, because I didn't know that one girl who plays the bullet in the show, she's the bullet and like she's like representative of death or whatever, and she's the first person in the show to die.
I remember that moment.
Yeah. And then also like another thing is like I didn't know that there's a theory that John Lawrence and Hamilton had an affair kind of, and that's why their relationship was so strong, and you like they even like showed little moments in the show where like Anthony Ramos is like looking lovingly at Lin-Manuel Miranda to like show that their relationship. There's like other things that I was trying to remember that I learned from TikTok. See, TikTok is great because it teaches
TikTok is educational, everybody. Bless TikTok. May it stay with us.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of theories, though, I don't know if this is true, but maybe y'all can help me out here. And Scott Patty, who wants to know that she heard Lin-Manuel Miranda use songs from Beyonce and other hot stars for Hamilton. Is this true?
Well, I don't exactly know what the meaning, references to songs.
Like, did he take songs from Beyonce's catalog and use in the musical?
Let's see. Do you want this gigantic list that I got from the internet?
They did do a mixtape later where they got celebrities to sing songs from the show, so. Oh.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, because kind of the way his brain works, he sort of has an encyclopedic knowledge of all pop culture from all time.
He'd be great for Gilmore Girls.
Seriously. No, I heard him in an interview once, and several interviews, and the interviewer will just bring up something super random or like some random book, and he has read it and knows all about it. Like, no matter what the thing is. It's kind of.
I feel like we'd get along. We both love pop culture.
Yeah. So, okay. So Hamilton's filled with quotations and paraphrases from and references to many hip hop, rap, and R&B songs. And in the playbill, I guess it says, the score of Hamilton contains references to the following classics. Going back to Cali, Juicy, both Notorious B.I.G. songs, If You Know, You Know, Party Up. I'm just scanning to see if there's any Beyonce.
I believe it, the Destiny's Child Satisfied thing.
I mean, Satisfied is a Destiny's Child track. I don't care who, it is a Destiny's Child number. The fact that there's three of them, too,
the Skylar sisters,
it's like, okay. And I know Eliza is Beyonce, Angelica is Kelly, and Peggy is Michelle, obviously.
Yeah. So I think that could be true.
Yeah. And the Wait, other what thing... were their costume colors in Bill's Bills?
I think they all wore like gold and black or something. Yeah. So Rianne Sienna wants us to talk about the bullet moment. The bullet.
Oh, well, we
Was it successful? Was it not?
I also learned about the bullet from TikTok. And then I was like, oh, okay. So it's essentially like you were just talking about this. So the actress plays the bullet and she's the...
She doesn't play the bullet. Her finger plays the
bullet. Oh, she represents a bullet. I would say it's a full body performance.
Yeah. Don't be so critical.
Don't they pick her up at one point?
Yeah.
It feels like the... I mean, I've done this bullet moment for years and years when I do improv. It is... It's so funny when that happened because I was like,
the object work.
Are you okay?
Okay. She's like, when do I get my prop? When do I get the bullet? And they're like, put your fingers like this.
We got a yes and. You are the bullet.
Hey.
And here's the thing. Lin-Manuel Miranda is a big improv person. He's done improv before. He's in the improv community. Freestyle Love Supreme started at the People's Improv Theater, which is where I started out. And
cool.
He's seen bullet work. I'm saying this is an ode to long form improv.
Oh, we have improv to thank for the bullet.
Yeah. Without improv, there's no bullet.
Do you have some I feel like you were getting up to say something really critical and mean.
No. What?
Oh, okay. It felt like let me tell you. So it started.
Let me tell you. Yeah. In 2005, I played a bullet in a scene.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Lin-Manuel Miranda was in the audience that night. He saw it, wrote it down on a piece of paper, and stormed out.
Yeah. He wishes he could have that bullet technique like me.
I mean, did he call me to sort of talk about bullet techniques before the show opened? That may or may not have happened, but I think he did a good job.
An NDA? Did he make you sign a bullet NDA?
Mm-hmm. He did. Mm. That's why I can't talk about it.
Okay.
Well. Okay. Well, I guess we know what we need to know. If you don't know, now you know. Yeah.
So the bullet, I liked it. I thought she was cool as hell.
I honestly didn't remember it from when I had seen it live, but then I had seen that TikTok before watching it again, and I was like, oh, that's cool. I mean, there are a lot of cool choreography moments.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I just thought it was cool that all of the background dancers, like when I saw it, I just thought they were background dancers, but they all have roles within the show too.
They all can sing.
Yeah, like there's I think his name is Jasper, I don't know, but he was on So You Think It. There's this background dancer from So You Think You Could Dance, and he's the one who plays
Thane Jasperson.
Yeah, Thane. He was the guy who is the
Samuel Seabury.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sorry, I'm just looking.
No, you're filling in the blanks that I don't know. And then also like the other guy who plays the general guy that does the duel with
Charles Lee.
Yeah, I have
George
no idea.
Eaker.
But yeah, I didn't realize that all the background dancers had vital roles within the show too. And so like the bullet was a role that I didn't know existed.
Imagine having to be a swing for these roles and know all of those background roles.
I follow another So You Think You Could Dance person, Neil Haskell, I think it is. He was the original swing for the show. And so he had like a whole binder where he would have to write down where everyone stands. Jeez. And all this stuff and like know everything and jump in at any moment. It's sad that he wasn't in the show at all. I mean, you know, because he was a vital role in Hamilton and he wasn't in the filmed version of it, you know what I mean? But
wait, what did he come in later?
No, he was like an original swing.
They filmed it after he had left.
No, I mean, he's just not in it. If you're a swing, you're not in it unless you're needed.
Oh, okay, now I see. unless you need to be in it. I thought yeah, okay.
Yeah,
but then sometimes there's so many different there's like swing and then there's understudy and then there's standby, and sometimes you're in the show. I think if you're an understudy, you're in the show. Like, you have a role in the show, but then if they need you to play the main role, you go out of that, and then the swing comes in. And then if you're a standby, you're not in the show, but you're, like, waiting to get the call if you need to be in the show. Mm-hmm. So it's all nuts and sounds very, very tough. Like, way tougher than just being, like, Hamilton.
I just want to be, like, an actual swing so I can swing around. And
that sounds great. I just want to be a rope swing.
That's what the show is missing, was an actual swing.
I can control.
Wait for it. I did want to mention when this came out that someone released a Muppet version of the soundtrack where it was like someone sang as all the Muppet characters, but as Hamilton, like the full soundtrack.
Like Kermit is Hamilton.
Kermit's Gonzo, I think, is Burr. Beaker plays a role, I think. There's so one Swedish Chef plays one of the roles too, which is very funny.
I do remember listening to Guns and Ships, and like the person playing Lafayette was like, this is hard, it's too fast.
Yeah, it's very funny. But going back to my Imagineering with Rachel.
Oh.
So in Liberty Square, so at Magic Kingdom at Disney World, they have a Liberty Square, which they don't have a New Orleans Square, but they have a Liberty Square, which is like colonial themed or whatever. And that's where they have the Hall of Presidents, barf. But they used to have this show with the Muppets where they would do like old stories about like American history or something like that. It was recent, but they got rid of it because they got rid of a lot of their live shows. But I think they should have a Muppet Hamilton show in Liberty Square again, where because they sing Hamilton songs.
So funny. Gosh, I love the Muppets doing anything.
Yeah,
they can do anything.
There should be a Muppet version of Disneyland, where it's the same park, but everything is Muppetized.
Well, originally, when they were acquiring the Muppets from the Jim Henson, they were going to have a separate land at Hollywood Studios that was all Muppet-themed, and they were going to have, like, a pizzeria, and then they were going to have, like, they used to have the Great Movie Ride at Hollywood Studios. They were going to have a Muppet version of that, where you go through different movies, but then, like, everything gets ruined because it's the Muppets, you know? But yeah,
that sounds fun.
That never happened. If only they only got the Muppet 3D vision. That was the only thing they ended up having. But then they ended up having a pizzeria. But I think
I miss the Muppet 3D vision.
You can watch it on YouTube, maybe.
That's great. Yeah, that's true.
It's still at Hollywood Studios.
I gotta go to Florida when it's safe to go to Florida.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say something that is, it's not controversial and it's like sort of obvious, but people don't really talk about it. And that, because the musical is like super, super impressive. And Lin-Manuel Miranda is a genius lyricist. However,
I know where you're going.
When it comes musical prowess. Singing? I don't know if it's there at all.
I mean,
what do you guys think about Lin-Manuel Miranda's singing ability?
Look, the man is a genius. He's a great writer. He has a brilliant mind. He's not the best singer, but when you've written this whole thing, I think we give you a pass. Because also similarly, I mean, like Stephen Sondheim, you know, one of the greatest musical writers, composers of all time, doesn't care if you're a good singer or not because he believes it's about the performance. So similarly, yes, but like you were saying, Oscar, like when it's popped in the middle of all of these outstanding voices, it does stick out.
Yeah.
Because there are moments, I think early on, because you're just like sort of shocked by the whole thing right away. And then when he like, because he's rapping and you're like, yes, yes. And then there's a part where he sings and you're just like, oh no, ouch, ouch, ouch. It's just so jarring. And then like, it doesn't happen for like a while and then you sort of forget. And then when he does it again, you're like, oh no, oh, wow, okay, wow. It's very, very funny. Marie Cucci's on Instagram says, hot take, I didn't really like Lin-Manuel Miranda's singing. Am I a bad person? And
no,
I don't think you're
Marie,
a bad person.
No, I think it's the thing that everybody's thinking, but no one's talking about because we want to be polite and respectful to the person who brought this whole thing
to life. Who created
the
show, yeah.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, but no, it is, he's not the best singer, but I mean, he does deliver in performance. I mean, I don't know.
There is a moment, though, at the end. I think it's a scene with Eliza where she's just doing so little.
Yeah.
And he's doing so much.
Much, yes. Yes, and Claire, I totally agree with you.
Mm-hmm. It's like, it feels a little unbalanced, and I don't know if it was, like, this performance or, like, they knew the cameras there, or they're emotional because it's, like, their final performances or what.
He's great. He's incredible.
I'm not going to insult him at all because I would like to work with him one day.
No. I mean, like, no, this is like, we're not insulting. I don't think we're insulting him. I think it's just, voices are different. Right. Even Broadway voices from voice to voice are so different. And I think, again, as we were talking about, like, that's another form of diversity on stage, which is cool. That people
I mean,
have
here's
different
the thing.
Abilities.
It's like, if you're writing this masterpiece, it's like, yeah. Cast yourself as the lead, baby. That's what you do.
Yeah.
But some part of me is like, interesting that he didn't cast someone else. I would actually be very curious to see someone else play the role of Hamilton.
So, okay, crap. I forget his name now. But the guy who played his understudy.
Javier?
Javier is known as Sexy Hamilton.
Yeah.
Oh.
So apparently he played the role, like he was with it from the very beginning. Like he was there understudying this role, like building the role with him. And so once Lin-Manuel Miranda left, he stepped in. And so he was like a sexier Hamilton who they say, according to podcast I listened to about it, that he is a better singer, but a worse rapper. So it brings a different dynamic to
it. Yes, totally. Yeah. Yeah, interesting, because, like, the whole Aaron Burr is supposed to be this, like, sex symbol.
What?
And Lin, he's supposed to be, like, this sexy guy. He's sexy.
Wait, Hamilton?
Or Hamilton.
Aaron Burr.
Oh, okay.
Oh, sorry. I said Aaron Burr. I meant Alexander Hamilton. And Lin-Manuel has that, but in a very brainy way, right? Like, he's just, like, he's not someone that I would be like, oh, my God, he's so hot. George Washington would be that person for me.
I don't know
like,
if you saw those
Zaddy.
Those dance moves.
Yeah, but even that, I'm like, oh, this is cute. Like, oh, he's cute. He's a cute. Yeah. Oh, Hamilton is a cutie, you know? But not like, damn, he's fine. Like, I would not say Alexander Hamilton is fine.
That was another thing that was on TikTok was people were rating how hot the different characters were, and I think the winners were, of course, like David Diggs and then Anthony Ramos were like the big ones.
Oh yeah, the guy I saw play Hamilton in London was very attractive. Ooh. He was like young and tall and like very hot, and it was like, it was weird. And then the Aaron Burr I saw was like very nerdy and like
good,
and it had a lisp, and
that's correct casting.
Wait,
I think
this brings me back to my question I just remembered. Okay, so I've listened to the soundtrack, or the cast recording, excuse me, original Broadway cast recording, so soundtrack. And Aaron, Leslie Odom Jr. is like, his voice is like velvety and smooth and all this, but then like in the show, I swear it sounds so different.
It
sounds like a different pitch,
right?
And there's like more of a lisp kind of thing going on.
Yeah, well, that performance.
It sounded more like evil or menacing.
Yeah, like I feel like it was different. It was different. And like, I don't know if it's because it's like a live thing or what, but he was the only person who sounded starkly different to me.
Yeah.
He probably wanted to try something different. I sort of liked the fact that there was something going on with his voice that I was like, this feels off, which makes so much sense because his whole vibe is like, I don't know, he's like, how is this other guy getting all the attention? I am just as good as he is, if not better, you know?
Yeah, but I'm waiting for it.
Which goes again, how does it go?
Wait for it.
Yes. So I thought it was good. But Claire, I want to ask, how does the British version of Hamilton compare to this version of Hamilton?
What do you mean?
In terms of performances.
Oh. I mean, it's just, well, like any show, it's just different actors playing the different parts. The Lies I Saw was very overzealous, a little too much. So, yeah, I was like, ooh, girl, it was a little off-putting. But yeah, mostly the biggest difference was that you could kind of hear their accents poking out, and the fact that it was weird to be sitting in a theater in London that was celebrating people, like, separating from London. And then, of course, the King comes on, and they're all like, yay! And I remember I saw it with my British friend, and I was like, wow, everyone loves King George, huh? And she was like, we just love baddies. And I was like, well.
Well, I like King George, too.
We love baddies.
He's funny. He's, like, comedic relief. But speaking of Eliza, I wanted to ask you what you guys thought of the ending. Because there's different theories as to why she gasps.
Yeah, I've seen the theories, and I did a little research after to see what Lynn said, so I'll hold
Well, Lynn doesn't say anything because he wants to leave it open for interpretation for everyone.
Right. He's well, the one. So, Oscar, are you aware of these different theories?
I don't know anything about the show.
Yeah. Did you see it?
Did you watch it?
No, I didn't.
Oh, now I get why you don't know what wait for it.
Okay. I'm kidding. That last moment, the gasp. I think she dies at the end. He's like walking with her, the ghost of Hamilton. He takes her to the spotlight. She's singing, and it's like the final moment where she sees death.
Yeah. Could be,
Well, she... There's like a couple of theories, because there's one where she is brought to, because she sees she breaks the fourth wall before she gasps. So there's a theory that she sees the audience. And so like her whole thing is that who's going to continue to tell Alexander Hamilton's story. And then when she sees the whole audience, she gasps because she's like, oh, his story's been told. And then there's like another one where, yeah, she dies. And so she like sees Hamilton or whatever. And that's when she's reunited and she gasps and she dies. Then the other one is like something about, I can't remember the third one now.
The one is like, see, the one I saw like a TikToker who was like, okay, it was like showing the clip. And I was like, look, see Lynn, look, Hamilton takes her hand and now he's Lynn. This is Lynn.
Oh, yeah.
This is Lynn the actor taking her hand and showing her, look, there's an audience watching this story.
Yeah.
So this is him breaking the fourth wall. And I was like, this is insane.
It was like, he took her, he turned into Lin-Manuel Miranda and said, look, I'm continuing the story for you. And that's when she sees the eyes. She's like, oh,
that is the one.
Yeah. Oh, I hate that version.
No, that's the one.
Like, it feels like Lin-Manuel Miranda is like, look at me, celebrate my ass.
That is
please.
The one that he like, debunked. Ooh. He was like, that's a lovely thought, but that's not what it is.
That's very funny. That's very funny that people are like so
Because it was like he wasn't wearing his glasses anymore, so it couldn't be him. Had to be Lynn.
And then, of course, he says it's different for every Eliza. So it's one of those things. And then even Philippa Sue was like, it depends on the day and what I see. And sometimes I do see the audience, and I guess sometimes it doesn't. It's like, ugh. And then I even heard...
So what did your Eliza do in the British version?
I don't remember at all.
I didn't even remember gasp.
I think I just remember being like, well, that was overdramatic.
she fainted?
She fell off the stage.
Oh my gosh. She pulled a Kelsey Grammer? That's crazy.
She did.
But I do remember that everyone, there was a bunch of articles about like anyone who's been obsessed with the cast recording and hasn't seen the show is going to be shocked by the ending, because in the cast recording, you don't hear the gasp. So it's like, so that was like,
that's like in Phantom of the Opera, they cut out the second Let Me Say Goodbye and Wishing You Were Somehow Here Again. And when you see it, it's jarring.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
No.
I'm just kidding. It's like not really the same at all. But I also heard someone say, they were like, see, it's actually about Eliza, and that's why it's called Hamilton and not Alexander Hamilton. So it's actually her show, and this final bit is her expressing the fullest extent of her becoming a human. It's just like, oh my God, you guys.
Well, she does.
That's the magic of art, you know what I mean?
I mean, I kid, I play, I make fun of people. Oh, you kid and play. However, I absolutely am and was one of these people who would do this.
Oh, yeah.
When I fell in love with a musical, I would absolutely analyze it to pieces.
I mean, I love every single conspiracy theory TikTok that comes up on my feed about Hamilton. And I'm like, yeah, I believe
it. I'm going to start inventing them.
Yeah.
Did you know?
Like, there was another one about how, like, during In the Room Where It Happened, when they pull off the cloth from the table, that signifies that Aaron Burr switched political sides or whatever.
Because that's a classic sign of switching political sides is ripping a cloth.
Yeah, tablecloth off of a table. Yeah.
Of course.
But there was one thing I wanted to do. There was a few BuzzFeed quizzes about which Hamilton character are you? And I wanted to see if you guys wanted to take one.
Yes.
There's one that is which... there's one that the cast actually did together. That's which Disney... Which combo of Disney character and Hamilton character are you?
Oh, that's appropriate.
Yeah. I took it earlier and I got Angelica and Megara from Hercules.
Wow. Oh. Strong pair.
Yeah.
Nice.
But do you guys want to do it together?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, you're the same person?
Yeah, we're two.
Yeah, we're two.
Hearts,
yeah.
Two
we'll alternate. How about that? We'll
alternate our
answers. You'll alternate. Okay. How would your friends describe you? Easygoing, passionate, adventurous, sarcastic, clumsy, goofy, generous, or kind-hearted?
Claire, you want to answer this
first?
Honestly, I think you guys are both passionate.
Oh, okay. We're passionate.
Okay.
Because you both have things that you have dreams and you're going after them.
Aw.
Dreams of watching every single Disney Channel original movie.
Lafayette?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Who would you choose as your sidekick? Abu, Flounder, Olaf, Tinkerbell, Pumbaa, Mushu, Pascal, or Piglet?
I say Pascal or Mushu. Oscar?
I would say Pumbaa, but that's not one of
the... Oh, okay, Pumbaa. Oh, wait, yeah, he's an option. Choose him.
Pumbaa? Okay.
Yes. This is going to be a scientific
What's your favorite part of a story? The quirky characters, the fairy tale ending, the wild adventures, the soundtrack, the love interests, the life lessons they teach, the villain, or the setting?
Claire, that's for you, Claire.
Quirky characters.
Are you sure it's not the soundtrack?
Soundtrack.
Are you sure?
What? Is Rachel filling this quiz for us?
I just want to make sure you're getting it.
Set it. Morals? Lessons?
Okay, so quirky characters?
Quirky characters.
Okay. I was just joking because I know Claire likes to sing. Which Disney princess do you vibe with the most? Jasmine, Belle, Ariel, Cinderella, Tiana. Mulan. Okay.
Tiana.
I was going to say. Pick a karaoke song. Hey Ya by Outkast. Single
Ooh,
Ladies by Beyonce.
Ooh,
no
one.
Scrubs, TLC.
Ooh,
Toxic, Britney Spears. We Belong Together,
good.
Mariah Carey. Bye Bye Bye, NSYNC. Rolling in the Deep, Adele. Or I Want to Dance with Somebody, Whitney Houston.
Oh, I Want to Dance with Somebody.
Is that Oscar? Are you cool with that one?
Yeah.
Okay. Now tell us your favorite Hamilton song. Yorktown, Wait For It, Satisfied, Guns and Chips, Nonstop, You'll Be Back, Helpless, or One Last Time.
What's the one with the toast?
Satisfied?
Yeah, that one.
Okay. Claire, you're cool with that?
I'm cool with it. Although mine's Guns and Chips.
Wait, which is yours? Oh, Guns and Chips.
Because that's when she gets to rap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, Nonstop's really good, too.
Yeah, Nonstop is great. I love Nonstop. Okay, and finally, which character would you trust with a secret? Aaron Burr, George Washington, Hercules Mulligan, Philip Hamilton, Angelica Schuyler, Eliza Hamilton, Peggy Schuyler, or Alexander Hamilton? Here are the things I thought about when I was picking.
Okay.
Angelica was in love with Hamilton her whole life.
Yeah, and she didn't say it.
Yeah,
she
but also Hercules Mulligan was a spy.
I was thinking, I definitely trust the women more than the men, because all the men are involved in politics, and so I know they do, they gotta say what they gotta say.
Yeah, you know? Eliza seems very kind-hearted and wouldn't share your secrets with someone.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
So who
Peggy, who knows what she's doing?
Yeah, Peggy, we don't know.
Peggy's living her best life.
Yeah.
She's off being another lady.
Yeah. Where's her musical? You know what? I'm gonna write Peggy. Peggy? I'm gonna write a musical called Schuler.
Oh.
Not Skylar, sorry, Skylar. It's just spelled Schuler.
Yeah.
Skylar, and it's gonna be about Peggy.
And Peggy. Okay, but who are you telling your secret to?
Peggy.
Peggy?
Yeah, because she goes off and we never hear from her again, so she's not gonna share it.
Okay. And Peggy. Okay, you guys got Eliza Hamilton and Miguel from Coco.
Yeah, that's Miguel. Miguel,
you're creative, sincere, and honest. Like Eliza, you're someone who leads with their heart and their head in a perfect balance. And like Miguel, you often see the good in people, even if others don't. You want to leave your mark on this world and will do anything so others will remember your name.
Dang, that's exactly a really right. good, that's a yeah. really perfect. I guess that kind of covers our casting for this episode. We found out who we were.
You guys are both Eliza great. And I'm Angelica.
Yeah. We're the same. Well, and I'm Peggy, honestly. We are the Skylar sisters. That's amazing.
Angelica. Oh, wait. You gotta do it. You
Angelica.
Do it. Eliza.
And Peggy. I'm here, too.
Skylar sisters.
Clintosaurus 94 wants to know who can best recite the rap in Satisfied.
Okay.
Please demo.
So.
So is it going to, what is the,
Oh wait, I have it here. So this is what it feels like to match wits with someone at your level. What the hell is the catch? It's the feeling of freedom, the scene, the light. It's been frankly with a key and a kite. You see, I don't remember the rhythm.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to pull it up.
It's a key and a kite. Freedom, seeing the light. You see it, right? The conversation lasted 2 minutes, maybe 3 minutes. Everything we said in total agreement, it's a dream. It's a bit of a dance, a bit of a posture, it's a bit of a stance.
Okay, here's my try. So this is what it feels like to match wits with someone at your level. What the hell is the catch? It's a feeling of freedom of seeing the light. Yeah. It's been frankly with a key and a kite. You see it, right? The conversation lasted 2 minutes, maybe 3 minutes. Everything we said in... it cut off. Total agreement. It's a dream. It's a bit of a dance, a bit of a posture, a bit of a stance. He's a bit of a flirt, but I'm gonna give him a chance. I asked about his family. Did you see his answer? His hands started fidgeting. He looked askance. He's penniless. He's flying by the seat of his pants. Handsome boy. Boy, does he know it. Peach fuzz, and he can't even grow it. I want to take him far away from this place, and then I turn to see my sister's face, and she is
helpless.
There we go.
Wow, that's incredible.
That's how it should be, though, because I'm Angelica, and then Claire is Eliza.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Where's Peggy?
Here. Hi.
Peggy, I'm just chilling. Did Peggy go somewhere?
I'm just eating the wedding cake.
Wait, Oscar, you do your rap.
Okay, as Peggy? Okay.
Yeah.
And done. That was awesome.
Yay!
And Peggy. Or you can do the Guns and Ships rap.
Guns. Absolutely not. No way. I'll stick to doing Peggy stuff.
And Peggy.
That's what I can do, because I can't rap or sing.
Well, that means you also have to sing when she turns into what's-her-face.
Mariah. Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Mariah Carey.
Yeah. Help me say no.
No! That's what she sounds like.
After watching Hamilton, what would you say is the takeaway of the musical?
Well, it depends on what character you're seeing the show from. Mm. If you're Angelica, you know, you're never satisfied.
Mm-hmm. If you're Burr, you're willing to wait for it.
Yeah, wait for it. But at the end, he realizes why did he wait for it, you know, because... That honestly, that's the saddest. I cry at the end when he sings and he's like, everyone's just going to remember me as the villain, kind of. That's what he said.
He's not lying.
History books that's will exactly remember me happened. As a person who killed Alexander Hamilton.
History has its eyes on you.
And then if you're Eliza, you're helpless.
Yeah, or you're just like,
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then if you're Hamilton, you not throwing away your shot unless it's when you actually are supposed to shoot someone and then you die.
You literally do.
Yeah. And you waited for it and he didn't wait for it. Yeah. And mm-hmm. then everything gets fucked up.
I know. Yeah. 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 Those are good good morals.
Morals. The moral is, you know, if you want to write a musical about the founding fathers, make it a little bit hip.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then it'll be a success.
Yeah,
because that's exactly what happened. Let's rate it. It's time to rate it out of 5 Hamilton stars, literally. The logo of the show. How many stars would you rate Hamilton?
Considering I've already watched it like a billion times now, that's been on Disney Plus, and I'm a musical person, but I'm not that much of a musical person. You know what I mean? Like, I'm mm-hmm. not, like, I don't, like, listen. I mean, I guess I am. I'm, in, like, an in-between, you know? I'm not, like, I'm singing musical songs in my car all the time and, like, listening to Sondheim all the time. But, but I do like it. With all that in mind, the fact that I've seen it a million times, I'm going to give it 5. I love that it's given people a chance to see the show that they would have had to pay tons for, and you get front row seats, and it's like the original cast, perfect performances. I mean, other than, you know, like a few people that are not great singers, but they're relatable singers in my case. So it makes me feel like one day I could probably be in Hamilton. I don't know. I'm going to give it 5.
I do think it's really cool. Like, it is a gift that was given to us, not to sound too cheesy about it, but, like, it's just a really – something people – it was so highly anticipated, and I think the fact that it was so built up by the point that I had seen it, and I was also put off by the fact that it was built up because I don't think I was, like, snobby about it ever, but I was like, you guys, musicals have been great the whole time. Why are we, like, now
why
just suddenly
one?
Seeing – yes, like, why are we just seeing this now? So that was, like, a little off-putting. But having said that, when I finally did get to see it, I was like, yeah, that was a great show. And because I feel like I haven't even begun to dug into being, like, a student of Hamilton, so it's hard for me to, you know, even appreciate how deep – it goes, but just because all that, and like, it was great. It's great that it's available. I think it's so cool. I love that people are loving live theater and seeing the merit in it, and also just like the fact we can pull it apart and like see different things, and you see different things even in different performances with the same performers, which is really cool. And then you bring in new performers, and it's a different show. It's so cool. So for all that, I give it 5.
Yeah,
good time.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great musical. I walked into it being like, I don't know if I'm going to like this. Hearing the songs alone, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if this doesn't really make any sense to me. But watching it all come together, there is that feeling of just like, whoa, this is special. Like, I don't think I've ever seen anything like this before. Yeah. And the performances are solid, I think. And I think another weird thing, and actually, Kath Frieza asks, in comparison to the current state of DCOMs, would you say this is better or ...
Wow.
I mean, better or ... than DCOMs? It's, oh, like, it's just,
it's like
on
a slice
planet.
Of cake versus like green beans, you know what I mean?
Exactly, yeah. And I think that is a really funny experiment. It's like watching all the DCOMs and then watching this, you're just like, oh, okay, this is what content.
It's like also a Tony award-winning show.
Yes, I mean,
it also, like, of course, like, how can you compare? It's a different art form, let alone, like, budget and the fact that they worked on this for how many years before putting it up, whereas DCOMs, they're popping out, like, once a month.
Also, adults are, like, starring in it versus, like, kids who've never acted before in their life.
I mean, there are DCOMs that are just perfect in every way.
True, and there are DCOMs that I've enjoyed just as much as watching Hamilton.
I know.
But I mean, I think everybody who hasn't seen Hamilton should see this version of Hamilton. I think it is very good. I think everyone should watch it. There is something that I'm going to dock some points off, which is the plot of this. It makes, I couldn't tell you what really happens in it. The second half is like really uneven compared to the first half of the musical. Mm-hmm. In terms of like quality of songs, I think it like took a major dip. Also, like, I don't think I'm not a musical sort of guy at all. Like, I do think musicals are, like, fun and cool. But I think after a while, I get a little exhausted just watching musicals. And this is, like, even though this musical was incredible, I was still, like, sort of looking at my watch and being like, oh, is this going to end anytime
soon? It is long. It's definitely long. And also, do you think it's because it's the sung-through thing?
Yes, and that's exactly it. I think it would have been different if it was some talking scenes and then music in it. But because it was like a barrage of lyrics nonstop, yeah, after a while, I was like, oh my gosh, I need a break. Well, when is intermission coming?
Well, you also probably in quarantine haven't been exposed to like having a strong attention span. So like you're not used to having to pay attention to something for like
100%. And I think I could say that for musicals, period. Like I don't think I'm the kind of person that would like be sitting. I'm not a musical person. Out of the three of us, I'm like the least musical theater person here. So it still slaps though. So for that reason, I'm giving it a 4.5. But if you were to be like, okay, what happens in this musical? I'd be like,
I feel the exact same way. Even when, cause like I watched it a couple weeks ago, and I was like, oh, should I rewatch it? Cause like I don't think I could give you a rundown of the plot.
Like especially like, the political stuff. I'm a little like,
right. Ugh. And like once all those like the rap battles happen and all that kind of stuff, I'm like, I really don't know what's happening. I would need a synopsis.
It sounds nice, but I'm like, I don't know what happened in this scene. I can tell you.
Yeah, so, yeah, plot-wise, except, like, I mean, I have, like, the bullet points. I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. Oh, okay, his son's in a duel. Oh, okay, that's not good. So, like, stuff like that.
Him dying, bad.
Yeah, that's bad. When someone dies, bad. Bad. I got that much.
Wow, guys, we did it. We reviewed Hamilton. That's wild.
Alexander Hamilton.
But I do encourage everyone who listens to this podcast to take a little dip outside of the decom pool and give this a chance, because I think it's also really cool to watch some music in media. You know, watching Walt Disney animation movies, you're like, oh yeah, you're so used to it. And then watching decoms where there's no singing, you're like, oh.
Well, for what we've seen.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right. This is, of course, I'm talking about pre-High School Musical.
It's like, content. We haven't gotten to where every single DCOM is just a musical.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not there yet. I'm not familiar with those. I'm actually looking forward to it. So.
It was funny because it sounded like you were suggesting Hamilton. Like, if you haven't heard of it, go out and watch Hamilton.
You guys, there's a musical that really needs your help. Yeah, you just log in and watch the what they really, really, really need. But before we go, I just want to bring something up that someone on our Instagram page mentioned that I want y'all to know. And Tanis_Wonderland sent us a message that says, just can't wait for the TikTok challenge for this one, Rachel.
Oh.
Will there be dancing, lip syncing? What's it going to be? So, is the TikTok challenge for this?
I mean, there's so many TikTok challenges already, it would be so lame of me to come up with a new one. Like, one of my favorites is, like, where someone's like, it's the one where it's like, nobody needs to know, and then it cuts to the Reynolds pamphlet, and it's like,
oh, I don't think I've seen
you
that.
Haven't seen that one. It's like someone being like, I'm gonna tell my best friend my secret, and then it cuts to the best friend being like, hey guys, guess what?
Oh wait, maybe yes.
yeah. What I've gotten really into on TikTok lately is like changing into different outfits inspired by different people. I love to see a TikTok fashion challenge where you dress up in like normal 2010 fashion, but as Eliza, Angelica, and Peggy.
What is that called? Spirit bounding?
Disney bounding?
Disney bounding, sorry.
There's like there's a TikTok challenge where it's like what I would dress like if I was in Stranger Things. Yeah. Pokemon.
It's to the song
The Babysitter's Club. Yeah, and you wear something in that style.
Yeah, it's to the song Stunning, I think. And it like you just like cut it so like you jump up and then you land in a different outfit and then you jump up again.
It's very fun. Yeah. I don't have the wardrobe to participate.
You do, Claire.
Not really.
Yeah. I think for these ones you just pick the different colors, right? Peggy, Angelica is like an orange. Eliza is like a blue and Peggy is a yellow, right? Is that
maybe?
Is that their color?
I know Eliza's blue, Angelica's like orangey or pinky,
red,
and then
Peggy is yellow.
Oh, yeah. Poor Peggy.
And Peggy?
Always forgotten.
And Peggy.
And Peggy?
And Peggy.
I have never forgotten Peggy. Peggy is sisters. My soul. My spirit animal.
Work.
Yeah.
Peggy. Cool. Awesome. I hope you guys liked this episode of Hamilton. I mean, I had a great time talking about it. But now it's time
to say to goodbye. Leave
this section of the vault. And to go back into our DCOM section of the vault. I'm very excited to see what 2001 has in store for us.
I'm excited to see what comes next.
Uh-oh, 2001 was a rough year.
Yeah, well, hopefully the DCOMs don't reflect that. But for now, we are saying goodbye. I've been Oscar.
I'm Claire.
I'm Rachel.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, thanks for listening to that special mini, but not so mini episode.
Well, I would say it's pretty maxi.
Well, mini in spirit. Like mini comparison to how long Hamilton is. You know what I mean?
You're true. Right. Actually, you're
it's
right,
a proportional
right.
thing.
Yeah.
It's a proportional
thing. Thanks for listening to that. Obviously, you know we're going back to the DCOM. So what is it that we're watching next week?
We are watching Xenon the Zequel.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see what 2001 has in store for us.
Yeah.
And it's taking us to the future.
Yeah, we're going back to the future again.
Yeah.
I know that Xenon gets a haircut, and that's a huge plot point in this movie.
Is it a huge plot point? I don't remember. She just has short hair.
I mean, no spoilers, but I think it's the one where there's like an alien that comes.
Yeah. I do know that Nebula is different. She's not Raven anymore.
Oh,
no,
yes.
She's our friend from The Color of Friendship, I think.
Yes.
Ooh, okay. I liked her a lot in The Color of Friendship.
I think Greg is missing. They're not.
Wait, just like not in it. He's like
that's what the movie's about.
Person.
Yeah. No.
He gets abducted by aliens and Xenon has to go on a cross galaxy adventure.
Yeah.
That would be a good movie.
That would.
I'm gonna write a DCOM.
Do it.
So you both have seen this one before, yes?
Yes, yeah. But I don't remember much of it.
Oh cool. Yeah.
I'm very excited to watch it. I hope you guys watch it. It's streaming on Disney Plus.
Yeah, and if you guys want to talk to us about the movie, about the podcast, if you got questions for us, we're available at ITDV Podcast on Twitter or at Inside the Disney Vault on Instagram.
Ooh,
we
that's
love
right.
it. We love contacting contact.
We love socially distant contact. It's
clearly,
in the year 2020.
I need socialization. Clearly, help me. Chat with us.
Yeah.
We're here, baby. And if you want bonus content, we have a Patreon. And that's available. That's Inside the Disney Vault on Patreon.
Yeah, you can watch us talk.
Yeah, we're really fun to look at.
And see what because we have fun backgrounds every week, so.
That's true.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We've got themes, baby.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't say what they are because we want to keep a little mystery.
That's right.
Yeah, it's just all right,
so let's go back to the DCOM section of the vault. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, dang. What's going on inside the Disney Vault, listeners?
Are you ready for a promo?
Let's do yoga. Let's get fit.
Hi, I'm Nick.
And I'm Muriel.
And we're the hosts of Hella in Your 30s.
A podcast about a cool couple trying to do adult stuff.
So each week we invite you to join us as we try to learn things we should probably already know, like how does a stock market work? Can we install that bidet? Why are all of our houseplants dying?
This is a podcast for people of all ages because remember,
age ain't nothing but a number.
But being Hella in Your 30s is a state of mind.
So tomorrow's a new day. Let's order pizza.
Campfire.